It's good to see everyone out this morning.
Good to have those that are able to visit with us. We want to welcome you back at every opportunity to come and worship with us. And this morning, Brother Ed read for us from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 down to verse 4. I'd like to share a little story with you. As we consider these verses, we consider a lesson on is your ears being tickled. I want to tell you a story about Huron County, hillbilly, that thought he was called to preach. It says he spoke to the brethren at church, and they told him that he had to submit an examination to be able to preach there for the congregation, which he readily agreed. He said, "Brother Fraley, can you read?" he asked. And he responded, "Yes, I can read reading, but I can't read writing." "Well, do you know your Bible?" Brother Fraley responded, "Yes, I sure enough do. In fact, I'm pretty good in the Bible. I know my Bible from lid to lid, from kiver to kiver, and from generations all the way to revolutions." "Now, what part of the Bible do you like best, Brother Fraley?" Well, he said, "Yes, sir, I like the New Testament." "Well, what book then do you like best?" And Brother Fraley said, "I like the book of parables." "And which of the parables do you like best?" And he said, "I like the parable of the good Samaritan the best." Well, let's hear about that. Brother Fraley goes on to say, "Once upon a time, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thorns, and they grew up and choked him. So he went on and didn't have any money and met the Queen of Sheba, who gave him 1,000 talents of gold earrings and 100 chances on a horse. He got into his chariot and drove furiously, and while he was driving under a tree, his hair caught among the limbs, and he hung there 3 days and 3 nights. The ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink. One night, while he was hanging there, his wife came along and cut his hair, and he fell on the stony ground, where it rained 40 days and 40 nights. He hid himself in a cave, where he met a man who said, 'Come have supper with me,' to whom he said, 'I have married a wife and cannot come now.' So the man went into the highways and byways and compelled him to come and have supper with him. And after his supper, he went into Jericho, and sitting in a high window was Jezebel. And when she saw him, she laughed, and they flang her down from the window. They flang her down and flang her down, and they flang her down some more. They flang her down some more until 70 times and 70 times 7 more. And the fragments they picked up were 12 baskets, shook down for good measure. Now whose wife is she going to be in judgment because she break in pieces and multiplied? Amen and hallelujah." The brethren there at this church sat in silence for a few minutes. And finally, one of the elders there said, "These am some of the thoughtful delineations of our brother, and I recommend that he be accepted unanimously as our new preacher, because he sure do know the Bible from lid to lid, from kiver to kiver, and all about generations, clean through to revolutions." It's a pretty cute story. Think about all the different things that, different parables, all the different stories that were mentioned in this little thought that he was sharing. And I know, again, as we think about it, it's a story. And we might think, yes, that was a pretty funny story. But there are many people who respond just like what this gentleman did after hearing this examination. Boy, that sure does sound good. Let's have him as our preacher. And that's what Paul warned about here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and down to verse 4. There are many people who do not have a clear understanding of what they are receiving as teaching. Some people will put complete and utter trust in whoever it is that's delivering a lesson, and will believe whatever is said must be true. But Paul warns us that there is going to come a time, and there is a time, and it is happening. It was happening then, and it's happening now, where people are wanting to have their ears tickled and not know or even desire to seek the truth. People will do many things to get the type of teaching they want, and there are going to be consequences in the end. I want to consider just for a few moments in answering this question of, is your ears being tickled? Because as we think about this, different doctrines around the world that are being taught, so many different, thousands upon thousands of, are about us. We want what we want, is what I'm getting at. We don't care what the Bible says. We want what we want, and as we see the results of this, we see multiple, thousands upon thousands of different doctrines, 25,000. Some people have said 38,000 different types of doctrines. We see there's multiple thousands of different doctrines being taught in the world. And as we think about this for a moment, we ask the question, why? Why would this be? Where did it all come from? Because there's so many, are they all right? We might be asking ourselves such a question. But this is not something new that the church was facing in the beginning stages. If you go back to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, we look down at verse 6 down to verse 10. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 down to verse 10. Where we read here, again, Paul addressing this, he says, I marveled. He was surprised at the fact that so many people, as he says there, Galatians 1, verse 6 down to verse 10, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Because Paul says, for do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul was pointing out, people were turning away to another gospel message. He said, and he pointed out, there's not another one. And some people were saying, there's this new gospel. How many times have you talked with an individual and say, well, I've heard some sort of new doctrine. I've heard some sort of new gospel. Heard, you know, whatever it is. I heard it from someone, got a vision, and here it is. They're presenting something to you tonight. What's going on? Some people will say, I've gotten this voice. I've had these different types of things that have happened to me, and I want to share the new gospel message. Paul said there's no other gospel. There isn't another gospel. But sadly, many have went to great lengths to pervert the gospel of Christ. And he was warning them of such things. How to respond to it. If anyone preaches another gospel to you, let them be accursed. If they present something that goes against what the Bible says, consider it to be accursed. You know, Jesus faced and battled on different occasions. We could look at some of the different groups. But a lot what we see about is the Pharisees, and then after his death, the Sadducees were some of the different oppositions that Jesus faced. We look at the Pharisees. Here's what they were doing. They were clinging to their traditions. Back in Mark chapter 7, you know, we see these different groups of Jews that were being in opposition to Jesus Christ, and we see some of it come into play, where in Mark chapter 7, verse 8 and 9, Jesus goes on to tell them, to teach them, here's where your problem is. Here's where you're turning away from God. Your ears are being tickled towards traditions rather than the truth. And in Mark chapter 7, verse 8 and verse 9, Mark chapter 7, verse 8 and 9, he says, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." He said, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. You know, there were people that Jesus was facing, these Pharisees, they were holding fast to their traditions, whether it's washing a pitcher and cups or other things as he goes on here. We see there were some of these other things that we read about later on, whether it was a tradition of being able to wash or being able to go and honor these different festivals and moons, as Paul addresses later on in one of his epistles. We see that the Pharisees, they were clinging to their tradition. They were holding fast to it rather than the commandment of God. Their ears were being tickled towards those traditions. Then we think about the Sadducees. We don't read a lot about them in the gospel account, but we see more of them come into play in the book of Acts, where we see they were in opposition against the cause of Christ because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They were very similar to the Jews, but there was a distinct difference. And we read about this over in Acts chapter 23 and verse 8. Acts chapter 23 and verse 8. Acts chapter 23 and verse 8. Again, we see the Pharisees, they were still trying to battle those that were following Christ. The Sadducees, they come into play more, where they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, went to the grave, and arose again, and now is at the right hand of God. We read in verse 8 of chapter 23, "The Sadducees, they say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit." But the Pharisees confess both. There's Jesus faces, the apostles, they face, the disciples of Christ, they face these different obstacles. People are trying to turn away from the gospel message, and here was some of those that they were facing back in the first century. And it has continued to go from there. Some of these battles that we think about that were being faced, it's not a message of convenience. And over in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. We look there, and I want to use the English Standard. I'm going to put it up here on the board just for a moment. Matthew 7, verse 13. You got your Bible, you can turn there as well. Then I just appreciate the wording a little bit more to try to help us understand. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate," what Jesus says. "For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many." I just want to just look at this just for a moment. Enter by that, for the gate is wide and the way is what? The way is easy. We want to talk about trying to have someone's ears being tickled. We're going to try to promote a more easy way, a more convenient way. People are wanting to try to change the Word of God, to try to change what it means for someone to be saved, whatever it is. They're trying to change the means of the Bible for an easier way, rather than understanding that we got work to do. Someone said, "Well, I can give you some money. I give you $1 million right now, or you can work for it." A lot of people say, "Well, I want the easier way, right? I want the easier way." Then we see sometimes where individuals they lose that money. Not saying everybody, but a lot of people. For instance, you know, I've watched, you've probably seen some of these different documentaries on people who have won the lottery, put the dollar in, they didn't have any money, probably not with all this money, and the next thing you know, well, what happened after you won? Well, I become in a worse condition, I become even more broke. I chose an easier way, you know, we see some of the effects of it. Sometimes people are not wise with what they've been given. Jesus has shown us the way that leads to eternal life. The way is difficult, as we read there in verse 14 of Matthew 7. But it leads to life. But this easy way is a way of convenience. It leads to destruction. And many go by. That way is easy. It can't be said enough. And what happens is,
as Brother Ed read for us from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 4,
what people want to do with the gospel message is they want to adapt it to the wants. Well, I want this. I don't want anybody to talk about sin. So let's kind of mark that out. Is what people want. I don't even might even get specific. Talk about certain types. Maybe they, we'll talk about. We can talk about, yes, murder or theft or something like that, but don't talk about any of these things. We were talking about last week, for instance, sexual immorality. Don't talk about any of those types of sins. Or, you know, as we were talking this morning, people want to focus on the love of God. All you got to do is say, I love God, and that's it. That's not what the Bible says, but that's what people are wanting to be taught. And we see that continuing to grow more and more. Some of the different ideas that have come up. Is that about once saved, always saved? Once you've been saved, you know, some people will believe if we baptize you, whether it's with pouring on the water or burying somebody in some different denominational teachings, that once you're saved, you're always going to be saved. Again, baptism, that can be substituted, whether it's pouring or sprinkling to some people. Or you can just eliminate it completely and just say a prayer of faith or the sinner's prayer, whatever it is that people want to believe. That's what we're being substituted. That's what's being used instead of the means of the gospel. These are some of those messages of convenience, and that's not what the Bible is about. People are wanting the easy way. And want to get away from it. God is offering salvation for all. Again, as Paul points out, the way leads to the easy way leads to destruction. Because many are not looking for sound doctrine. They're looking for their ears to be tickled. They're adapting to their wants and not considering God. Well, you know, people say, well, we're going to change things. God should understand this. God has given us His Word and expects us to obey it. You know, we read there in John 14 earlier this morning in Bible class, Brother Ed was teaching class this morning on that.
And it points out, if you love me, keep my commandments. Those who love me, as Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments.
We're to be listening to that sound of Jesus offering to provide us the way to eternal life. And we got to believe, we got to follow it if we want to have that hope of promise of eternal life. Sometimes when we think about it also is that pride can be the destruction of us all if we'll allow. Over in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18.
You know, when we talk about some of the dangers that go on. We talk about the dangers. Talk about pride. Some people, oh, well, this is what I want. This is what I believe is right.
And pride can be the destruction of us. In Proverbs 16, verse 18. It says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19 says, better to be of a humble spirit with a lowly than divide the spoil with the proud.
We want to change God's Word. We're allowing pride, our own personal pride, to be pushed more. When people want to try to change it. And what's being said, when people want to change God's Word, what's being said is that God's Word is either not enough or it's too much. And that's unfortunate. God has offered us the way to eternal life. And will we accept it? Will we follow? Will we believe in it? Let me ask the question, what do we need to do? What is it that we need to do? We need to give more time to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. If you go back to the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now let's look at verse 13, verse 15, and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, verse 15, and verse 16. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, we read here, Paul says, till I come, Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He says in verse 15, to meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. He says to take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, to continue in them. For in so doing, you will save both yourself and those that hear you. Again, we see, what does Paul say? He says, take heed to the doctrine. Take heed to all these things. Give time to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. We need to meditate on the doctrine of Christ. We need to abide in the doctrine of Christ. Again, it's important. It's necessary for us. And we see the effects, or we see the results of it over in 2 John in verse 9. 2 John, verse 9. 2 John, verse 9. We read here, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. We need to meditate on the doctrine. We need to give ourselves entirely to it. When we talk about that word meditation, you know, some people will have different ideas of it. You know, we put our fingers together and we start humming. Is that meditation? No. What we're looking at in all this is that meditation, we're giving ourselves to it. We're focusing on, we're giving time to these things. And again, as we read in 2 John verse 9, that if we meditate on the doctrine, we abide in the doctrine of Christ, we have both the Father and the Son. We see the results of this if we will abide in the doctrine of Christ, not the doctrine of ourselves. We need to give time and give all the time we can to God rightly dividing His Word. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we want to look at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We take time in dividing His Word rightly, justly. The results of this is that if we will give time to reading, exhortation, to doctrine, to meditate on these things, to rightly divide the Word of truth, we can be saved. And those that will hear us, those that are willing to have their ears open to it, can also have that hope and promise of eternal salvation. These things are beneficial to our soul. We see by example over in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, of this very practice. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Which says, These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So you look here. These Berean Christians, they took the word. Now, when we think about what's said here, is that these individuals, they didn't have this right here. They didn't have this either. So you'll say, well, Daniel, you carry a Bible with you? Yeah, I got it on here. I got about four different apps on here with different commentaries and everything. But they didn't have a completed version of the Bible. They didn't even have a completed version of the New Testament. It hadn't been written. It hadn't been all penned down yet. They had the Old Testament. And it wasn't that everybody was, it was select individuals that had access to the scrolls or had copies of the scrolls of the Old Testament. These individuals in Berea, they took the word, they received the word,
And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether what was being taught.
So after they had received the word, they went and took their own time to go and find out who had scrolls, who had it, and search the scriptures to make sure what was being taught was accurate. That's what we see about this rightly divided word. We take the word of God. We take this lesson this morning and we apply it. We search the scriptures together and on an individual basis to make sure what is being said is accurate and is true. Now we also see we've got to seek God and we've got to seek His Word. We'll look over, if you're there in Acts 17, look down to verse 27 with me. It says, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. We've got to have the desire as well to seek God's Word, to seek His ways, to hope for His ways. We've got to be able to take time in searching the Word together, individually. We go home, we take time to be able to study this together. So the question this morning is, are your ears being tickled? Think about that story we said at the beginning, you know, mentioned at the beginning of the lesson. Is what's being said up here, what's being said in Bible class together, is it being taught, is what's being taught true? What is the doctrine that's being taught? Is it coming from man? Or is it coming from God? Is it a message of salvation? Or is it just a message of convenience? Is it a message of tradition? Or even a message of denying Christ? Is this message, are we allowing our pride to overtake us? Or are we willing to humble ourselves in the sight of God and resist our pride? Over in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and verse 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Are we willing to do those very works? To humble ourselves inside of God and resist our pride? Will we accept His word for what? Are we giving attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine? Are we going the next step and searching the Scripture from what we have received in a lesson or in a class or in a teaching? Or do we just trust whatever is being said is true? I'm always encouraged when everybody takes their Bibles. I know with the digital age it's harder to do it, but I always enjoy hearing the pages turn. A friend of mine, he was preaching, and when they first started coming out with these things, he was complaining, well, I'm not going to hear the pages turning. And then somebody had on one of the apps where it had a sound. Said, well, when I switch in my phone or my iPad, I can go over there and I'll go from Genesis up into Matthew, for example, and it'll make the page turning sound for you. But I always enjoy hearing that as we open up and study God's Word together. Because I want to make sure that what I'm saying up here is true. That we're studying together the Word of Truth. That we're rightly dividing the Word of Truth. We need to be hungry for God's Word. We got to take God's Word and study it and apply it to our life. I want to look over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 this morning. Turn to you over there. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Jesus, in giving the Beatitudes here, in the kind of the opening points of His Sermon on the Mount, He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Bible says we've got to be hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We don't need to be focused on letting our ears just be tickled. We need to take God's Word, apply it to our life. What we need to be doing, we're gathered together, is to be able to study God's Word together, to rightly divide the Word of Truth. It is our only means of salvation. Through God's inspired word, it is our only means of salvation. Hope and pray as we look at this lesson this morning that we can take it to heart and being able to know what we got to be focusing on is preach the word. Be ready in season, now season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all unsuffering and teaching. Because that time is here where people will not want to endure sound doctrine. They're going to want to have their ears sick, but we got to be watchful. We got to be faithful and continue to do our work as an evangelist. Continue to preach the word of truth. Continue to offer the means of salvation to all who are ready to obey this morning. And if you're ready to do so, if you're ready to make your life right with God, and you understand through the word this morning that you need to have your sins washed in the waters of baptism, and you're ready to make your life right with Him, the water's ready. The time is now. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, we'll be glad to help you. Maybe this morning you realize that you have not been faithful to God. You have had your sins washed in the waters of baptism, but you need to make your life right with Him once again by forgiving, by repenting of your sins and asking and praying for forgiveness. We'll be glad to pray for you. Whatever the case is this morning, as we're about to sing this invitation song, if you are subject to the invitation, all things are indeed ready. All you got to do is just make it known how we can assist you, how we can help you, how we can encourage you. If you need prayers or encouragement, we'll be glad to do that on your behalf also. But you got to make it known how we can assist you, how we can help you. And if you do now, walk together while we stand and while we sing.
All things are ready.